Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
So those of you who don't know me, my name is Jeremy Compton. I am a member here in the Community Fellowship Church along with my wife and the two kids. I am very thankful to be able to speak today. This sermon topic actually started several years ago before Community Fellowship was formed. And it wasn't a sermon, it was more kind of a situation, and it kind of turned into a journey, and it got categorized in my notes folder that I kind of jot stuff down in my phone when I'm driving or I'm listening to a podcast and I hear something. And it's been reignited more and more and more the past few months. I keep jotting down more notes and things, and I guess a couple of months ago, I really started looking at it, and it kind of started hitting it home a lot harder. So it started turning into what I wanted to discuss today, and this is kind of how it started. So prior to Community Fellowship, we were in a Sunday school class, and we did a spiritual gift test. It was very short, simple. See what your strengths and weaknesses are. How can you help the church? What are you good at? What are you not good at? You know, should we be utilizing you for missionary work or organization work? You know, where are you going to benefit? Well, I failed miserably at one category. And if you know me, it wasn't talking. So it was faith. I remember Timothy was sitting next to me, and he looked over and saw my results and said, "Oh my, that's not very good, Jeremy." And I was like, "Hey, thank you. Fair enough. I'm looking at this. I almost got a negative on a circle bubble test." So that was tough. I received very low marks that day, and it shook me up a little because it was kind of one of those things that, well, I mean, I come to church every week, I read the Bible, I go to Bible study. How did I score so low on a faith test? So, you know, like anything, it's human nature. I don't want to fail at something. You don't want to not do good on a test you take. So, and it's maybe it's more my nature. If I do something and I'm not good at it, it really eats at me. I have selective OCD, my wife tells me. I pick things out and obsess over them, and then 2 weeks later, I don't care about them anymore. It's like, well, that was really important last week, but that doesn't matter this week. This one's kind of been eating at me for a while. So a few months ago, I was listening to some podcast, I was reading sermon here, and I kind of got to thinking about this, you know, this faith score that I'd so terribly did on. So, like a true engineer, I looked up what the definition of faith is, because if we're going to rate something, we better know what that puppy is, right? Like, let's know. So I went to the good, trusty Google. Number one, complete trust or confidence in someone or something. And I thought, okay, fair enough. That applies to a lot of things. Number two, strong belief in God or in the doctrines of a religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. Well, I had a lot of reservations about number two because I was like, we have a Bible in front of us. It's full of proof. But Google's probably not the most Christian business that we can name. So we'll just go with the definitions. So Google gave us these two definitions. I thought, you know, number one, let's look at number one first. What can we look at in our community? Complete trust or confidence in someone. What can we look at locally? So we've identified the problem. Let's go macro to micro. What is something that we could create a faith score here in the community? And then I got to laughing really hard because I thought, what is better than East Barnard than so appropriate today, an A&M fan faith score? How faithful are you to the Aggies? So let's look at photo number one. this guy, I mean, we'd probably give him a pretty good faith score on, you know, he's a fan. He's committed to A&M. There's probably a lot of really good things going on right now. Everybody's happy. They got their gigging thumbs up. But let's look at photo number two. This is the A&M I know. Does she have a low faith score? Is it high? I mean, is her score higher because she's sad and she cares? Well, as we all know, God has a sense of humor. And when I was doing this, this is what I saw on any, I had to turn my phone off because this is what was rolling. I was getting text messages from people. I did not go to A&M. I do not care if A&M beats Alabama. I'm very happy for them. But then I was like, I can't even talk about what I was going to talk about. A&M beat Alabama last night. And then I thought, no, this is the ultimate fan faith test. There are people that actually believed this was going to happen before it happened. That's some faith right there. I mean, I got texts from people that were like, I told you that was going to happen. And I was like, oh, I don't know about that. So had a good chuckle about that. But all jokes aside, taking this kind of into our biblical sense of faith, the real faith, I think I wanted to look at all the aspects, right? You know, when we were looking at an A&M faith fan score, we could create a list really easy. How many A&M flags do you have? Did your kid take 6, 9, 12, 16, 18-month pictures and gig them gear and you posted it on social media for everyone? I mean, we probably need to check that one if you're going to have the score. So I'm going through this. I took a test that I failed, and here we are. So I want to create this faith score. I want to calculate it. I want something tangible that I can look at and say, hey, you're doing better in your faith than you were. What is that? So let's get into that. There was a group of verses that really initially kind of got this reignited. And I don't remember if this was in here or if I heard it in a podcast, but I want to go through those real quick. They are Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. So we're familiar with these. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region, Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after this. I want to pause right here for just a minute. We're going to come back to 23, but just kind of remember where we're at right now. He's walking with his disciples. This woman comes up, Canaanite woman comes up, is crying, is trying to get Jesus' attention. All right? He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. And this is a very famous verse that we've all read. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. And this is the reply we all know. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And his reply, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. So let's go back and let's look at this. If we were going to put a faith score on this woman before we read after verses 23, she's not Jewish. She's a Canaanite. She's asking for help from a Jewish Savior, the Jewish Savior. The Canaanites did not study the Torah. They had a history of idols, and they were very problematic for the Jewish people. This isn't a Church of Christ woman going to the Baptist preacher and asking for help. This is an atheist walking in and saying, help me. So if you look at that in 23, and this is what really got me thinking, I'm not going to give this lady a very good faith score, right? She doesn't study the Bible we study. She doesn't. But here she is. She's causing a scene. And I don't think I would be the only person. The disciples clearly were uncomfortable with this and wanted her to leave. They asked Jesus to make her leave. And what does Jesus tell her? Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. So obviously, our modern day metrics and definitions we're using don't work really well on our faith score or our faith test. Jesus knew. She believed. He performed a miracle. She had faith. So let's go back to the test that I took and look at how I got to where I was and kind of understanding. I dug in trying to figure out, how did you have such a low faith score? So our company usually has about 150 contractors that work for us 24 hours a day. And you can imagine with those numbers, we're doing very technical things. Someone's going to do something wrong every day. Terribly wrong. If you put 150 men and make them work 24 hours a day, things don't go right. So years and years of this happening, I got where I would say the faith that I had was more that I had faith that someone was going to mess something up, not that something was going to go right. It was a negative faith. And I really started trying to, I applied that to everything in my life. You know, we have a saying in our office, if you trust people, you're going to be disappointed. And it really rang true for how I was looking at it. So when I started to look at my religious faith, that definition number two, I can tell you, it was taking a toll on my life, physically, spiritually, relationships, work. And since this church started, every week, I've written something down in my notes, and for some reason, it keeps going back into the faith folder, a little piece here, a little something there. And I believe that this sermon was placed on me not so I could spread it with you, so that I could answer my own questions. You know, they say the best way to learn is to teach, and I have taught myself the last 2 or 3 months. I tried to research what true faith is. I struggle with blind faith in anything. Obviously, I'm a Texas Tech graduate. I have zero faith that we'll ever be good at football again. Like, we don't have faith like A&M does. We just know things are going to go poorly for us most of the time. So understanding my biblical faith has kind of been a different thing. You know, just last week, Tim talked about loving your neighbor as Jesus's instruction and what that looks like. And his examples were moving and heartfelt and touching and powerful as a congregation. And I was sitting here and I was taking more notes. And I started looking back through all the notes because this message 30 days ago was really going to go a different direction. It was going to be, here are things we can do. Here's the list. And I started getting back into that of how do you calculate a faith level? How do you fail a faith level test so miserably? So, like all things, I hit a wall. I wasn't making progress. I just went back to my notes and started reading them again and started going. And I saw something and it just kept coming over and over and over. And just as clear as I've ever understood anything. I reread these verses that I've read 50 times, 100 times, and I felt like I finally read them in English. Like I could understand what they were saying. And the direction of this sermon went 180, and it became a very personal experience for me versus calculating this faith score. So I want to go through those with those today. I really hope that I can communicate how clear they came to me and lay this out for y'all. So let's dive into those. The first verse that I had in my notes was very clear instruction was James. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. I wrote down in my notes, in all caps, you must not doubt. The Canaanite woman that we just discussed, she did not doubt. She came to Jesus and her faith was little doubt there. The Bible gives us really great pictures. It is a book of stories that expresses in pictures and visualizations. And how clear of an example is it? Someone who does not believe is a wave being blown and tossed by the sea at the mercy of some other force that they cannot control. I spend a lot of time on the water, in the bay, in the ocean. I like the beach. I like to watch the waves come in. And you have waves that just come in on their own, over and over, and they all look like they're doing the same thing. And 30-minute wind change, one gust, a boat drives by. Those waves completely are disrupted and change their course, maybe for 5 minutes, maybe for the rest of the day. And I thought, how true is that of where we are, that we're just waves? We have no control. We want to get to where we're going, but we don't get there on our own will because we don't believe. I was like, man, that's good. So I was jotting those notes down, you know, and the question that I asked myself, so how does a person like a wave get control of their life, of their destination? Well, it was really simple. The answer was, they believe, they must not doubt. So the next verse that I had that I went through in this faith score that I was putting together was Mark 5, 33 through 34. So let me a little background on this one. Jesus was going with a synagogue leader. His daughter was sick. She was dying, the Bible says. And as they were walking along, there was a woman that had physical ailments for 12 years. The doctors could not heal her. They were actually making it worse, everything she did. So she came to Jesus to touch his garments. And it says, then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. This woman did not doubt for one moment. Jesus said, your faith has healed you. And yet there it was again. You must not doubt. I went to take more notes. I was going to try to categorize a paragraph for each one of these verses. But there really wasn't a whole lot else to write down. I wrote down in my notes, you must not doubt. I did add one thing. She was trembling with fear and told him the truth. And I put an asterisk beside that and said, she was taking responsibility. Her faith healed her, and she was taking responsibility and confessed to Jesus. So I went on to the next verse, and I was like, this is good, this is good. This is not coming together how I was anticipating. This list is really short. And I flipped through, and I went through my notes, and I flipped back and forth, and I started looking for that next item, and I came to Mark 9:23 was one I had flagged. So I opened it up, and Jesus said to him, if you can believe, everything is possible. I have it written as Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible for one who believes. And I sat there and I reread that. If you can believe, truly believe, all things are possible. He doesn't say sort of believe or sometimes believe or if you believe, you might be able to do this or maybe you can do that. No, it's really simple. If you can believe, all things are possible. So I went to my next verse, starting to understand where this was going and what was happening. And I'm very familiar with this next verse, but I couldn't remember the exact wording, but it's always been a favorite verse of mine. So I was like, okay, yep, let's go to that one. So I went to Matthew 14, 29 through 31. And this is Jesus. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, Lord, save me. And I was going, yeah, that's good. Then this one hit me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and called him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? Jesus' exact words, you of little faith, why did you doubt? We're talking about Peter, a disciple, who's already walked on water some distance, and a wind blew, and he doubted. He was walking out to Jesus, doing the impossible, the unthinkable. But at that moment, a little bit of doubt came into his mind, and he began to sink. Like I said, the Bible is a book of pictures. How many times are we in that impossible setting and doubt hits us immediately and we fail and we start looking for excuses and reasons and where to point the blame and, well, I'm in this circumstance because of this and that's why, you know, there is no blame in this Bible verse. There is no one to point the finger at except Peter. Doubt was his destroyer. Just a small little piece of it. As Jesus said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" I would like to think if we were giving Peter a faith score prior to this, based off evidence, I'd give him some pretty good marks, a lot better than I would give myself. And Jesus is telling Peter, "You of little faith." So there I was in my notes and my preparation, and I was looking for that list. And at this point, I knew that list didn't exist. And it had one item on it, doubt. But until that verse, the real issue that I was facing and looking at, it kept arising, but it hadn't surfaced yet, and it hadn't hit me yet. And it did very shortly. I probably had over a dozen verses or different things that I'd written down and I'd gone through. And like I said, I'd gone through these over and over looking for it. But I think this next one is when it really started getting transparent. And it really went a different direction. It was the direction that I'd been going the whole time. But when I read this one about 2 weeks ago, things started getting really real. And I had to look in the mirror. So I want to go through this verse and then let's discuss it. So it was Matthew 9, 28 through 29. It says, "When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, 'Do you believe that I am able to do this?' 'Yes, Lord,' they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, 'According to your faith, let it be done to you.'" First off, Jesus said, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" I think believe is a powerful word, even though it's in English today. He didn't ask, "Do you think or do you want me to do this? Do you think that I might have the ability to do this for you or for someone else?" He asked him, "Do you believe? Do you believe I am able to do this?" And he said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." Isn't that exactly what he told Peter in different words? "Don't you believe I am able to do this for you? You of little faith, I am able to allow you to walk on water. Do you not believe me?" So what caused Peter to fail? It was self-doubt. And this is where it got real tough for me and got tough real quick. And after reading that, I was sitting there and I asked myself, what if I was praying and at the end of my prayer, Jesus said to me, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And the first thing I thought, what would the result be? And it floored me. It probably literally shook me harder than anything as a Christian or a person that I'd ever asked myself in my life. Would my faith score be high enough for my prayers to be answered? Well, I knew that answer at that very moment, and that's why it scared me so bad. And I probably never had a life moment, like I said, in my life that I had to take self-responsibility for my actions and my faith right there. Peter, a man that walked with Jesus, doubted. It was his fault. You know, those miracles that were performed on those people, as Jesus told them, were because of your faith. You were healed, or your daughter is healed. It scared me knowing that my faith could be the reason that I missed Jesus performing a miracle for me or answering a prayer. If he looked at me and said, according to your faith, you'll be healed. So, the faith score isn't a number like a credit score or a rating or a bar graph or karate belts where you move through a system. I think it's more simply a percentage. And my percentage has to be 100% because I don't think 70% on this test is passing. It didn't pass for Peter. He might have had a 99. And he failed. You think about that. Just a fraction of a doubt, a slight slip in faith. It was all on Peter, and he failed. He started sinking. No one else in the boat caused Peter to fail. Social media didn't cause Peter to fail. He didn't have family members telling him, well, you can't do that. That's going to be too hard for you. Or he didn't look at social media and someone say, hey, Peter, you can't walk on water, bro. You're just a normal guy. Peter failed 100% because of himself, and Jesus looked at him and said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Jesus has told us over and over and over again in his teachings and the verses, and there's a whole New Testament full of them. And when I was doing this, at that moment, I realized that my own doubt was why I scored low on that test. It had nothing to do with the test. It had nothing to do with my work actions or who worked for me. It was nothing. If I would have stepped out of that boat, I would have drowned. I didn't have enough faith to take one step on water. Now, this is when I started looking at the rest of my life. And I realized most of these issues surrounding my faith levels had nothing, zero to do with anyone else. It was all the man in the mirror that was creating his own problems. And I wish I could stand up here and tell you that, oh, hey, I cracked it. I know how to get 100 on a faith test now. I can't. I haven't mastered that lesson. But I do know this. If those people who went to Jesus and they were healed because their faith is strong enough, then our faith can be strong enough too. It's road mapped out. And we can remove all of our own doubts, just like that woman, and fall in front of him, trembling with fear, and tell him the truth. And I believe that is the first step in getting to that 100% on your faith. And it's where I have to be. Let us pray, guys. Dear Lord, thank you so much for giving us the instruction, the love, the caring, the ability to be surrounded by people who will love on us. Give us just such great instruction on how to live for you. Give us ability to be able to do that. Just cannot thank you enough. I want you to be with everybody in this room, everyone who couldn't make it here today, and help us strengthen our faith and get to that 100% point where there are no doubts in our life anymore. When it comes to our religious beliefs, remove those doubts for us. Amen.
If you have questions about this week's message or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support Community Fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.